What a wonderful song, isn't it?
It is.
You know, the lifeline, yeah? You know, the lifeline for a lost person, that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know what the lifeline for a saved person is? That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You could be sinking in your sins and dying, going down and never to come back up. Jesus Christ, he's that lifeline. He saved you from the depths of the pit of hell. You be a Christian, you can be out there away from God or just having a really bad day. You can be sinking, and just like Peter, right? Save me, Lord, I'm perishing. Jesus Christ is going to reach right out there and grab you. You know, the hand of Christ is always extended. There's never a time right now that his hand is not extended to you. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeah? He's actively, presently, diligently seeking you. What are you doing? Are you actively, diligently seeking Christ? What a wonderful, wonderful concept of the lifeline. Yeah? Now, if a man can care enough about a man, how much more does our Savior care about us? Amen. But I just want to praise the Lord. I want to praise God for who he is. I want to praise him that his name is above all names. I want to praise God that his thoughts are above my thoughts and his ways are above my ways. And I'm way down here. Yeah, my pastor says that in these days that Jesus Christ is having to reach down in the bottom of the barrel. He was talking about me. I know it because he was looking right at me when he said it. Listen, I'm okay with being that bottom of the barrel person. I'm okay with being that bottom of the barrel man called to give the word of God. Because that's what Jesus Christ does. He reaches down into the very depths of hell and snatches us right up out of there. You can't get much lower than Ronnie Scolton, let me tell you what. If you understood the depths of sin that I was involved in, you'd say God made a mistake. Really. I'm telling you. The saving power of the blood of Christ knows no bounds. There is no sin that is beyond the grace of God. You know, when I was sitting there, I was just moved to ask before I get into my message, if anybody has anything they'd like to say, if you have a praise for God, a testimony. You know, it might have just been me thinking and not the movement of God. So is there anybody that has anything they'd like to say before we get going on? Yes, sir. Well, bless God. Amen.
I mean, I never saw that thing in the Bible before. And I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't been here.
Good thing.
And, you know, you were saying that Jesus wasn't scared and he wasn't. Because he knew that God was going to use that to save lots of other people.
Amen. Amen.
And there were two ways he could have done it. There was that way, and a way that would cost him a lot less. It was to just destroy everybody and start new. But God was, he loved his people.
Yes, people, that's right, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Even though normally, like say I'm doing a Lego spaceship, and it's not very good. It's like, it's supposed to be me. You know, we're made in God's image. It's supposed to be an image of me, except it's that big, and I don't. And, well, God made people from scratch. And, well, say I can make, like, it would benefit me to destroy it, but if such a thing was possible, how about I'm not making it? Because that's impossible. I can't make it. How about I'm riding my bike around on some dirt, and I just about drive over a little ant hill, and all these ants come out. And so I get all the little ants, and I'm going to make them, I'm going to put them into my little ant home for them. But the ants keep running away. They eat my chocolate bar. They messed up one of my shirts. You know, they ate it. Because they ran away, and while I was looking for them, they made a hole in my drawer. And they ate some candy I got for Christmas. And they do all this bad stuff, and I feel like I got them now. They're not lost anymore. I have them in my hand. They're not going to get me anymore. You know, but that's sort of like us. We're always going away from God or doing stuff He doesn't want us to do. And God could just...
Maybe we should deserve that, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would. So, but instead of doing that, I'm like, okay, you got one more chance into that ant home. You know, sort of like that.
Grace, yes, bring this home again.
It would have cost me something. Like, say, they ate some more of my chocolate bars. Or while I was trying to run after them, they went across this mud puddle. And I'm like, oh no, it rained and they were hiding under a thing of grass. And it's raining out there and zip. Oh no. That was their one more chance. Well, say it was something like that. So I'm like, there are plenty of other ants out there. But say I put them in the home instead. And it's for like,
your grandma wants to interrupt you, excuse me. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to thank the Lord that we have confidence that He will never fail.
That's true. Right. Amen. Amen.
And His word is true.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Appreciate that.
I'm thankful for God being long suffering.
Oh, glory.
And then I also want to thank Him for His providence.
Yes, sir.
First of all, He allowed me to be here when there was a time where that might not have been so. And in His providence of allowing me to be here, we were able to not only see our daughter and son-in-law, but we were able to celebrate with our family our 50th wedding anniversary.
Boy, that's wonderful. God bless you. Yeah. 50 years. You've been married 50 years. I've been alive 50 years, eh? Yeah, she put up with you for that long, huh, brother? Yeah. Good. God is good to us, give us wives, isn't He? Amen. Yes, sir. If it wasn't for my wife, I'd probably be a lot skinnier at least, you know. So I don't know if that's good or not, but I thank God for my wife. Yes, ma'am.
Where we would go out to the bar, you know, and sin is fun for a little while. Mm-hmm. You know, come home and fighting and and just spending money that wasn't there wasn't fun. But I'm glad that he's sitting behind the pulpit now, not a barstool.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And
yes.
Not where we want to be, not where we were.
Amen. That's right. God is good. Yeah. His mercy endureth forever. His mercies are new every day. His thoughts toward us are good, right? That's what he wants. Amen. So, moving on a little bit now. Is that anybody else? Anything? Are we good? Okay. Glory to God. Well, God is just so worthy to be praised, you know. I woke up this morning. I couldn't sleep last night hardly at all. So I woke up this morning. I was just excited, you know. I was a little bit scared coming, and the preacher in his own church gonna be sitting there listening to me, you know. And it's a little intimidating, but she was excited, you know, because I got to get up and serve God, you know. I get up to be His servant to other people, and that tripped my trigger, you know. So what I want to talk about this morning is I'm one of the fellows that I write down everything, you know. You know, I prayed it over time as I learned this book, as I learned this perfect word of God, that I'm able to do it more without so many notes. But right now I write down everything. And I like to give titles to the things I wrote down. So today I just want to talk about, as the title says, As It Was in the Days of Noah. Mm-hmm. Genesis 6:8 says this about a man that we're all pretty familiar with, you know. Pretty much everybody, even a lot of unsaved people, have heard about Noah and his ark. They make fun of it, you know. They mock it, you know. But Genesis 6:8 says this about a man that God names personally. It says this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That doesn't seem to go along with the title, I said, as it was in the days of Noah, because we think about the end times and as it was in the days of Noah. We're going to get there. But the first thing we hear about Noah is that he found grace in the eyes of God. And Luke says this about Noah. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Son of Man there is capitalized. That's a capital S, proper noun. We know that's talking about Jesus Christ. So when are the days of the Son of Man? Here the Son of Man is capitalized, meaning Christ. The days of Christ then is what that is saying. Christ is no longer walking the planet. He's sitting next to the right hand of the Father. So how can today be the days of Christ? How can that be? Well, we're living in the days of salvation by grace. The age of grace, we call it, right? Yes. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me for a minute. That's where we're going to start our journey at this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 4 and read down to 8. Amen. Okay. Word of God says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This is the age of grace that we're living in. These are the days of the Son of Man. Also, we're living in what would be called the Laodicean age. You know, when we look at Revelation, we see the churches, and each church has been shown to demonstrate an age in human history. since the cross, since the death of Christ, these ages have existed. And I can't give you all the dates for them. Some people a lot smarter than me could do that. But what's really important to me and to us right now is that we are living in the last age, the Laodicean age, right? And right now, when we look at the world, I don't know about you, but I tend to look at America and consider America to be like the thermometer of the world, you know, just because I'm an American. You know, if you lived in England, you'd look at England that way. If you lived in North Korea, you'd look at North Korea that way, is the temperature of the world, you know. So looking at America today, the biggest thing that I see is that everybody is crying out for their rights, right? Listen, Laodicea literally means the place of rights, the city of rights. Yeah, so a Laodicean church would be, in effect, the church of rights. When we look at that, you know, we see that it says, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, right? You know, not in, but of. So the city of Laodicea was in the church, right? Now, that's not something that I saw. I learned that recently from a couple of different services that I attended. This is a side note. If there's a service anywhere, you know, a good Bible teaching service, a good, go there. You know, turn your TV off, put $20 in your gas tank that you were going to use for a pizza, and go hear a man of God teach you this Bible. So we're living in Laodicean age, right? The age of rights, as far as I can see, you know. But the actual truth is that everybody is bemoaning their rights to the place that it seems that nobody really has any rights. Unless you're exceedingly wicked. There's that word again we saw earlier. Wicked. If you are an absolute enemy of God, you have many rights today. The more reprobate you are, the more rights it seems you have. How was it in the days of Noah? If the days of Son of Men, the age of grace, were like it was in the days of Noah, and it's pretty wicked right now, how was it in the days of Noah? God tells us in Genesis that, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Not once in a while. Continually. The wickedness of man, where does that come from? Right, from your heart, exactly. But the Bible calls Satan that wicked one, that wicked. So we get wicked from our heart, okay? But we also get wicked from the devil. He wants to promote, he wants to water that wickedness that's in you. He wants that to come out of you. Listen, he doesn't care if that wickedness gives you, like we saw earlier today, some kind of peace. Some worldly peace, some security. And it can. You understand that? You could be a very wicked person and have security in your life. Think about the rich, rich, rich man, okay? Think about the producer of pornography. They're making millions of dollars on the internet. Producing all this filth that's destroying lives. They have financial security. Now, and they're pretty wicked, okay? They don't have the peace of God, though. You know, this isn't in my notes, but I just have this, you know, a wicked person can perform their wickedness and profit from it. And then find security in that. Because their imaginations are continually evil. You know, that's the biggest thing I dealt with as a lost person. My sin was in my mind. I took all these drugs. to willingly enhance that wickedness that was in me. I took pleasure in my sin. I sinned against God, and I liked it. I performed wickedness against the Savior and against man. I reveled in it. I did it because I wanted to. Yes, it's my nature, but I did it because I enjoyed it. The Bible says that Cain was of the wicked one and slew his brother. The Bible says that the devil is a murderer from the beginning, a liar and a deceiver. He caused Cain to be a murderer because he followed the devil. You know, I just had this little thought right here, preacher, you know. The Bible says, you know, we either love God and hate the devil, or we hate the devil and love God. Can't serve two masters. Yeah. So if you're not a saved person, and you're following the devil, which you are as a lost person, you're going to die in your sin. So in effect, you're going to murder yourself if you've heard the truth. You know, just like Cain killed his brother, Cain killed himself too. I don't know if Cain ever came to repentance with God. You know, I've never studied that out, so I can't say one way or the other. God can save a murderer, no doubt. You know, just being a hateful person, God says you're a murderer. So I must admit I was a murderer. I hated, you know. Take some thought. Huh? Really, really, take some thought for a little intricacy of the Word of God. You know, you can't think about it if you don't read it. I know. I'm not really in my notes right now, and you know, I'm not a great man of God and a great preacher, but God has given me some words to share. You know, I believe that even when I get up here and I stammer, when I stutter, when I get distracted, and my thoughts aren't exactly clear, that this God wants to bring forth the word, and he wants to have me to do it because he loves you, you know. And I spent the day yesterday at the library putting things together from little notes I make here, and I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and write this little sentence down that God gave me because he wouldn't let me sleep, you know. And I'm very happy to do that. I'm very happy to lose sleep for one little sentence that I can write down so that it might minister to you and improve your relationship with God, or bring you to that place where God says, okay, you can believe now. See, that's what happened to me. I wasn't saved because of some stinking prayer I said. I was sitting in a service. I actually prayed that God would save me during the church service so that I could jump up and celebrate and go nuts and everybody could see me. That's selfish. But you know what God did? God saved me in the middle of a church service. Brother Dad was preaching. He said, you believe the Bible? You believe God, that you're lost and condemned on your way to hell? Why can't you believe that the Bible is the word of God and it can save you? My heart said, I can believe that. Just like that. No prayer involved. I believed. And I was born again sitting in the pew. You know, I knew that something immediately had changed in me. So, yeah, the foolishness of preaching, right? God has your best interest at heart, always, always, yeah? Anyways, let's get back to this, talking about the days of Noah and the Laodicea and how we are in the days, the same as the day, as it was in the days of Noah, right? It should be in the days of the Son of Man. Anyways, let's go back up. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him? Because he, his own works were evil, and his brother righteous. Doesn't that sound like people today? Go and preach righteousness to the man on the street, or like many try to do today on social media, and that's okay, you can do that. You can use technology to bring the gospel, but preach to the man on the street and see what happens today. Just go to your neighbor, really, and just preach the word of God to them in love. Huh? And what's going to happen? They're going to seek to slay you. Huh? Why? Because their works are evil. And you know what the weapon of choice for people today is? It's their rights. People want to slay you with their rights. They want to destroy God's word and make it none effect because they have rights. Listen, this is the Laodicean age. And how have the rights of the wicked become weapons against the righteous? First of all, because the saints of God have let them do that. They've let that happen. We've let that happen. We have failed our fellow man as those who have should have been in the watchtower shouting of the death we see and the power of Christ to save us from it. There are some who have fought the fight. There are some who are fighting it now, but not as many as should be. Huh? Just like Noah. He was only one in his day. He was by himself. Yeah? The Bible says in 2 Peter, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness, that's today, let me tell you what, shall they be feigned with words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into change of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing a flood upon the world of the ungodly. So in the days of Noah, man's imagination was only evil continually. Keep in mind that there is nothing new under the sun concerning man and his wickedness. Listen, we can see that in Romans. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. The average person today, their hearts are darkened. And they're happy about it. They're okay with it. They like it. They're living in the depths of their sin, and they say they can do that because it's their right to do that. Jeremiah says this about this. Jeremiah has a lot to say about things, right? I like the book of Jeremiah. About 1% of it. I get. Yeah, but I've only read this book. I'm only going on my third or time now, so, right? You gotta give me a little. But listen, this is what Jeremiah has to say. Jeremiah chapter, I'm not even gonna give you the chapter. I'm just gonna read you what Jeremiah says from the Word of God. He says, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." Then he says, "And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them." Again, there's nothing new under the sun. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink." Now, I'm skipping chapters here, okay? I want you to understand this. This is not one straight chapter that I'm reading. I started in 6, I went to 9, now I'm going to Jeremiah 13. "This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle." which is good for nothing. And again, Jeremiah says, and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Men didn't glory in the God of creation in Noah's day. God's chosen revealed the wickedness of their imagination in Jeremiah's day. God's chosen reveled in the wickedness of their imagination in Jeremiah's day. Mankind is the same way today, right now. Mankind chooses to glory in his covetousness and his knowledge, his evil imaginations, all bent to glory in their sin. And they say, all is well with me. They disregard the preaching of the King James Bible. They reject the blood. They hate the word of God as it is preached to them, just like the folks did when Noah preached to them. I'm sure some people came and listened to Noah preach, just like some folks come and listen today. Then they go their way just as dead as when they arrived, just like people in church today. You come and you sit and you hear the word of God preached to you, and you hate it. You need to love it. You need to need it. Listen, the flood is coming. The Bible isn't a book written for intellectual discussion. It's a book given. It's the word of God for the saving of your soul and the perfecting of the saints. It's not a coffee table book for our decoration. Although, you know what? My Bible is usually on the coffee table because that's where I am. That's where I sit. Jeremiah has something to say about why men live the way they do and reject God and his word and his preachers. And it still applies today. Jeremiah says, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Mankind thinks there's no hope, and that's why they live in such a degenerate state. We live in a time where men call evil good and good evil. The word of God warns us with these words. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We are living in a time when mankind has no idea of their real state. We live in the Laodicean age, where in Revelation it says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. But there's good news. The very next verse says this: I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, then that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. There is counsel for these people. For our people, for you. For the lost and the hopeless thinking they are okay, or that there is no way. The Bible says, buy gold tried in the fire. You know, we talked about that earlier. In Sunday school, we talked about gold tried in the fire. Do you realize that? Gold represents deity. Gold tried in the fire is Jesus Christ himself. How do we know that? Because Jesus took your sins to hell and they were purged there, in fire for you. So when the Bible says, I counsel thee by Jesus Christ, right? What's the Bible say? When a man finds a treasure in the field, a priceless treasure in the field, he'll sell everything he has to go buy that field to find that treasure. Right? I counsel thee to buy gold tried in the fire. That is Jesus Christ. That is the answer to the woes of this world. That is the answer to the darkness. That is the answer to people calling evil good and good evil. That is the answer to covetous blinding men's minds. That is the answer to everybody thinking their rights are important. Listen, you have some important rights, okay? You have the right to breathe. You have the right to go to hell. You have the right to believe the King James Bible. You have the right to believe in Jesus Christ. You have the right to accept Christ. You have the right to seek Christ. You have a lot of rights. But the rights that people are talking today are twisted. They say a five-year-old has a right to become a girl if he's a boy. Right? They say they have women's rights. This, the world doesn't even know what a woman is anymore, but they want to fight for women's rights. Right? y'all see that picture of that fellow there calls himself a woman and won that swimming, first place in the swimming, I think it was Olympics, right? He's like 6.5 feet tall holding this trophy. I won the women's swim. And there's three women on the other side, and they're all huddled together. Little old women, you know. Smaller stature, the weaker vessel. Second, third, and fourth place. They didn't even stand by that guy. Because they didn't know! So they had the right to lose to a man who called himself a woman. Whoa. God help us. God help us. Listen, Noah preached salvation of the coming death, and everyone but seven other people rejected it. Those people saved from the death of the flood weren't perfect people. After they were saved either, or I'm sorry, those people saved from the flood weren't perfect people after they were saved either. Huh? Just like saved today. Huh? We sin. Listen, all right? Listen, you know what Noah sinned, right? The preacher of righteousness had sin in his life. How about that? Genesis says, and Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken and was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Now, different people have a different idea what Ham may have seen, what may have happened. Because the Bible says that when Noah awoke, he knew what his son had done unto him. Now, listen. Some people think that Noah performed an act on his father. All right? You're adults. You understand what I'm talking about. I don't know if that's what he did. I think it's possible that Noah may have been naked sleeping on his stomach and his son may have just rolled him over to totally violate his father. I don't know. But he did something to his dad, right? Listen, Noah messed up. He got hammered and passed out. Listen, and you don't do that on accident. Getting drunk takes a little while. Yeah, it takes some work. It really does. Unless you just take like a bottle of liquor and slam it in one chug. It's not an instant process. You know, I don't think Noah slammed a whole bunch of wine like some college frat kid partying, you know. But it doesn't matter one way or the other. The fact is, he was an old man. He was passed out and helpless. And his son took advantage of him some way. Why did Ham do that? Because he thought he had the right to. That's why he did that. He thought, hey, I'm going to go out. Listen, if he had went in there, saw his dad naked, just closed his eyes, shut his mouth, turned around, and left, it probably wouldn't even be mentioned in the Bible. It probably would never be mentioned. But because of the evil imagination of his heart, a whole nation was cursed. Does that sound like America today? Yeah, what about the world? There's definitely a curse on our nation now, a judgment from God Almighty. America has been turned over to a reprobate mind as a nation. You know, I've heard it said before that because of Noah's son's action that a whole nation was cursed. But you know what? That couldn't have happened if Noah wasn't getting drunk. So because Noah got drunk, a whole nation was cursed too, right? Listen, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Yeah. Whosoever is deceived thereby is what? Not wise. Listen, don't even look at the wine when it moves itself. That means when that grape juice starts to ferment and it starts to bubble, don't even look at it. The very first instance we have of alcohol mentioned in the Bible, a whole nation was cursed for it. And you're going to go home and have your little beer. And go home and smoke your little joint, maybe. I used to do it. Listen, God doesn't approve of you drinking. He doesn't approve of you smoking weed. It's legal. It's okay. No, it's not.
That's right.
Listen, if you're a pothead, you're the same as a drunkard. If you're abusing meds a doctor gave you, huh? You're the same as a drunkard. Your drunkards are going to the lake of fire. Get it straight in your mind. I got the right to smoke pot. Now the government gave it to me. Go ahead. Smoke away. See what happens. Listen, I told you my biggest thing was my thought life. That's where the sin was worse. Listen, my physical sin existed too. I was a terrible husband. I was a terrible dad. I didn't beat my wife. I didn't beat my children. But you can't be a drug addict and be a good husband and a good father. And I was a drug addict. So let me ask you, how is your thought life? What are the imaginations of your life, of your heart? Listen, I dealt, even now, I deal with a difficult thought life. The reason is because of the law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, shall he also reap. For he soweth to the flesh, shall reap flesh, of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Listen, I spent decades sowing to my flesh and the evil imaginations of my heart. I used drugs to enhance that wickedness. I willingly sinned against God and man, and I took pleasure in it. The law of sowing and reaping is this. You reap later than you've sown. You reap more than you've sown. And you reap longer than you've sown. So let me ask you, as we come to the end here, huh? Where are you then? What is the state of your imaginations? What is your hope? Here is the hope. We still live in the age of grace. And the call is this. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. But the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Listen, all the way back, we said it earlier, when Adam sinned, God took steps to restore man to the way he was created to be. Huh? He took responsibility for his creation. Adam, he says, where art thou? I was scared, Lord. Why were you scared, God says? Because I was naked, God. Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to? Adam punked out. He threw Eve under the bus, right? He became effeminate. But what did God do? He clothed him. Isn't that what it says here? Huh? That thou mayest be clothed with what? Right agreement with the righteousness of God. Listen, it's God's desire for everybody to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. You know? So I just want to give you a word, one line of advice, and then I'll close. Okay? Sell your life and buy Christ. Let's pray. Okay? Father, our God in heaven, Lord, again, you're so good to us. You gave us this Bible. You gave us your perfect, holy word. It tells us that the blood of Christ covers all sins. God, we just pray now. Father, I pray personally. I'm asking you, God, please, for the lost folks here, huh? Show them what it is that's between you and them, God. Crush the rebellion that's in their heart. Show them the reason that they sin, God, is because they like it. God help us today as we go from here this afternoon to let the words that you have sink in deep, God. Put them down deep in us. Let it work. God, your word says that your words shall not return void, that it shall accomplish what you will. God, it's your will that everyone be saved. God, draw the Christian closer to you. Now just bless us, God, as we go. Let us come back and gather this evening, Lord, if it be your will. We thank you so much, God, for how good you are to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for deciding to perform the will of the Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.